Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
Isn't it good to laugh in church? Isn't it good? I think it fits in really nicely. If you missed last week, Az shared a message on the joy that was found in the first part of the Christmas story. And I think maybe we're just experiencing that this morning. It's big in our youth culture at the moment, talking about girl math. Now we've seen pastor math, I think. I don't know. That was something to behold. Maybe we can cut that out of the podcast. For those that aren't here live, it was a weird morning. We're doing math class and staff meeting this week, I think. We kicked off the Christmas season last week with a story, and as shared, not beginning maybe where we'd normally think of, maybe in the manger in a stable sort of picture, but started with two characters, Zachariah and Elizabeth, and an elderly couple that for many, many years weren't able to have a child. And then an angel appeared to Zachariah and promised them a child, and this miracle was arrived in their life, and John the Baptist was born. And we saw that story last week, and as really focused on the unexpected moments of joy. And if we're looking for them this Christmas, we can find those unexpected moments of joy, which we've experienced here this morning. And maybe you can experience in your life when you're looking for those moments of joy, not skipping over those things, but really celebrating joy, as Christmas is meant to be a joyful time. And it's wonderful to see that story of the miraculous sort of conception of John the Baptist in an elderly couple, paired alongside the even seemingly more impossible task of the immaculate conception of Jesus in the Virgin's womb, in Mary's womb. And this amazing story that we see of Jesus coming to be born at Christmas time. And it's a wonderful, wonderful comparison, as we saw in Luke chapter 1. And this morning we're going to continue the Christmas story, moving into Luke chapter 2. And it's my hope this morning that as we look at this story, that we would find in our lives the opportunities for the presence and the power of God in our everyday life. In just the everyday comings and goings, that we would see God at work in our life. And I guess a reminder for us this morning that as we look at the Christmas story, the purpose of our faith in Jesus is not just to know about him, but to really follow Jesus, to walk after him. And the Apostle John said it like this in 1 John 1:6-7. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So this morning, as we look at the birth of Jesus, let's all be inspired to walk in that light. Picking up in Luke chapter 2, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. This wonderful little passage of scripture is the moment that we celebrate this time of year at Christmas. We celebrate this birth, the reason for our Christmas season, Jesus' arrival, the birth of a child who would be the savior of the world. Now, for many of us, this is a story we might hear once a year. We're very familiar with it. And before we kind of skip over it this morning and tick it off as, yeah, we remember Jesus was born, happy birthday, and let's go eat some food with our family and celebrate, I want us to really look at this story this morning with fresh eyes. If it's your first time hearing the story this morning, the only way you can look at this is with fresh eyes. But for those in the room who've heard this consistently every Christmas, I want us to look at it afresh. Because this is such a key moment in history. In terms of our Christian theology, our understanding of God, the arrival of Jesus, God himself being born as a baby, is an amazing, significant moment. It's so important. And yet, if I'm honest with you, maybe you felt this too, when I read that passage, it just seems so like normal, like almost plain. The events, it just seemed like everyday life was happening as I read that passage. I think if we're not careful, we can mistake our own lives, the everyday mundane moments that are just completely natural, a little bit plain. Maybe you've experienced this. I certainly have. Have you ever felt like God's not coming through the way that you thought he was supposed to? Have you ever felt like he was silent or not moving? I think if we look at this passage at a surface glance, we might think the same about Mary and Joseph's situation. Like, you mean to tell me that God chose Mary to give birth to his son, this amazing moment, but he picked a time where in the late stages of her pregnancy, she was going to have to go on a long journey to a different city to be counted by some Romans. Like, that's kind of inconvenient, God, right? I mean, if I was Joseph in this moment, I think I'd be a little bit frustrated too. Like, they do this journey and they get to Bethlehem and there's no room for them in the inn. They're kind of put aside and Jesus is born and placed in a manger. And I've heard plenty of people, and I think it's kind of funny, and I've thought it myself, like, kind of give Joseph a bit of a hard time for this. You know, Joseph, meant to be the man of the house. You didn't plan ahead, didn't book a hotel. Like, what are you doing, mate? But let's be honest, Joseph didn't have booking.com. Like, he didn't have Airbnb. He couldn't just arrange for this the way that we can so easily today. And if I'm Joseph, here's what I'm thinking. The actual father of this child is God, the all-powerful, all-knowing creator of the universe. Surely you have the ability to save us a room in Bethlehem where we're heading for your child to be born. Like he's got to be a little bit frustrated. At least I would be if I was there. This seems so frustrating. For Joseph, maybe he's finally coming to terms with the fact you've chosen my fiance to bring your baby into the world. I'm dealing with that. You showed me an angel. I'm dealing with that. I can understand it. It was a bit shocking at first. I'm getting there. But there's no special treatment here. There's no luxury room or birthing suite for my fiance to bring this child. It's almost like the chaos and just the everyday nature of this event seems so frustrating. And I think we can look at situations like this in our own lives and we feel like maybe God hasn't seen us. It's not coming through the way we thought it was meant to. I had an expectation that something was meant to happen and it didn't. Maybe you've prayed the prayer that I know I've prayed at different times. Where are you, God? Where are you in this situation? The truth is, when we look at this story a little bit closer, we can see God's fingerprints all over. That God is actually working, even when we can't see it at first. And I believe that the same is true in our lives. See, 700 years before Jesus was born, an Old Testament prophet, Micah, shared this prophecy about the location that the Savior would one day be born. He says this in Micah 5 verse 2, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." What Micah is saying is, Bethlehem, you're going to be the place where this Savior will be born, whose ruling is from old, from everlasting. There's a hint in there of the Savior's true identity, of his eternal nature. But I find it so interesting. I want to throw up a map of Israel at the time of Jesus. And it's really funny because down here in Judea, this city here is Bethlehem. And this is where the Savior is meant to be born. When God sends an angel to Mary, the woman he chose to bring forth this child, She's up here in the northern region of Galilee, and at the bottom of that yellow sort of section, there's the city of Nazareth. About 150 kilometers north of this town where Jesus, the Savior, is meant to arrive. It's like, it's close, but not the right city. But at the right time in her pregnancy, she's required to travel to this city of Bethlehem. At the right time and the right place, the Savior is born. And the chaos of the in the moment and having to travel and the late stage of a pregnancy, I'm sure was uncomfortable. But when we zoom out a little bit from the everyday detail, from maybe the frustrations of the events going on, when we zoom out and we see the bigger picture, we see a story that only God could write. God is at work, maybe behind the scenes, but he's bringing about the exact thing that was needed at the exact right time. God is at work in our mundane moments, in our everyday lives. See, the supernatural is not always big and showy. Sometimes God is working through just the actions, the decisions, the words of the people around us. He can use the people that follow him to bring about what he wants, but he can even use the actions and the policies of a government that didn't even follow him to bring about a prophecy from 700 years earlier. God is at work in your life, whether you can see it right now or not. In the major moments, the big moments, and in the everyday mundane moments, God is at work. I think this Christmas story highlights it so beautifully, and it kind of continues to another group of people. And we sung about this sort of story in that Christmas carol this morning, picking up in Luke 2:8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. I love this moment, these events, for a group of shepherds who are just minding their business. They're just doing their everyday job. They're watching sheep in a field. I mean, honestly, they don't really have any place being in our Christmas narrative. They're not related. They didn't know the couple. They're just doing their own thing. But when the angels appeared to them, they had a message that is not just for the shepherds, but I believe for you and I. The angels told the shepherds, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior." Born to you a Savior. This child was for the shepherds, a Savior for them. This was the message why the angels appeared to them. This Savior was for them. You know, it's really interesting. We saw last week when John the Baptist was born, the joy that it brought to his parents And to all those in the community that knew Zachariah and Elizabeth, they got to celebrate with this couple that had wanted a child and now they had their own child. And that was such joy. And right here we see the arrival of Jesus. And there's still a celebration of joy, but there's something unique here. From the moment Jesus is born, the joy is not just for those that knew Mary and Joseph. It was for the strangers. It was for a group of shepherds out in a field that didn't know him. Because the Savior was for everyone. The Savior was born for all. And I believe it is our response that we should be like the shepherds. That when we hear about Jesus' arrival, and maybe it's the first time you're hearing the true story about who Jesus was and what Christmas is really all about this morning. When we hear that story, each of us should be inspired to go and meet Jesus ourselves. That we should go and meet Jesus ourselves. And we can encounter Jesus anywhere. Of course, we can encounter God in a church service like we're in right now. But maybe the place you encountered Jesus the first time was like the shepherds at your workplace. There was a Christian around you that shared their faith with you. And that was where you encountered Jesus. Maybe it's looking at the world around you. You see the beauty of this world and you're drawn to who is this God that made this wonderful place. Maybe it's the experience of other people who just demonstrated love. And when you thought about that love, you realized, I can't tangibly describe that. There has to be more than just what I see. And that's put you on a journey to discover who God really is. Or maybe even the opposite. You experienced evil, suffering, greed. And if that evil is there, how can I find the God that opposes that, that would one day bring justice? And no matter what your search has looked like, no matter where you've come from and where you're going, the search ends when we find Jesus. Shepherds found this babe wrapped in cloths and they knew, as it had been promised, they found what the angels had described and they knew they had found their Savior. When we encounter Jesus, we know, I need a Savior. I know I'm not perfect. I know I've fallen short. Jesus, I need you to be my Savior too. We join in with the shepherds and all those that have trusted Jesus to be the Savior. See, from the moment Christ was born, he came for a mission of restoration between humanity and God. Little infant in a manger that one day would die on a cross and rise again as our Savior. And this identity of Jesus, the Savior that was born, is reaffirmed over and over in the first few weeks of his life. Continuing the story, verse 21. When 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. I love Mary and Joseph's just continued obedience, their faithfulness. Through all the chaos that they've just experienced, the events that's happening and an unusual situation, they continue to be faithful. And we see in this little passage, their obedience to the Jewish customs and laws regarding childbirth. And it's wonderful as they bring Jesus to the temple. They on the 8th day, he's circumcised. They give him that name that was given. Then she returns at the correct time to follow the Jewish practices of after childbirth, becoming ceremonially clean again. And she brings a sacrifice. And as you look at this sacrifice, either 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, we discover something about Mary and Joseph. See, in Leviticus chapter 12, we see all of the laws about what to do when a child is born in the Jewish culture. We see these things, and when a child is born, the custom gift was to bring a lamb to be sacrificed. But within the law in Leviticus 12:8, there was something that was accessible to those that couldn't afford to bring a lamb. Here it is. If she's not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one as a burnt offering and the other as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her and she will be clean. See, Mary and Joseph weren't chosen because of their wealth. They weren't chosen because of their great stature. They were chosen because of their faithfulness. And in a season where maybe you can't see the fingerprint of God working in your life, you're waiting on Him, can I encourage you, like Mary and Joseph, to remain faithful. Remain faithful. Trusting in God. They obeyed the commandments. They trusted in Him, despite everything going on. And I mean, this is true when I look at my life. There are times where it's hard to see what God's doing. There's times where it's hard to see, God, how are you going to work this out? It's times to see beyond the everyday natural events. Just things are going on. Things are tricky. Things are tough. I didn't expect that. Of course, there's also those significant moments where it just seems like God is speaking directly and clearly. You can see His power demonstrated. Of course, I've had those moments. I look fondly on them, but there's also a lot of days where following Jesus is ordinary. You know, like just regular life. Jesus wants us to follow Him through those ordinary days. In just the ordinary ways, I'm called to be faithful in all areas of my life. To be a good husband. To be a good son, a good brother. Good leader, a good youth pastor. This is ways that I follow Christ. It's just being faithful in every area. And through the ordinary, we can follow Jesus and remain faithful. This morning you're here and you really feel like that's you. You can't see God's hand at work right now. I want to encourage you with one more moment from the Christmas story that maybe we overlook sometimes. Sometimes when we're not able to see God at work, He brings people into our life that are there to encourage us and give a different perspective on things. Mary and Joseph encountered two extremely faithful individuals at the temple who were used by God to encourage them. Verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the customs of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. And he said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Joseph and his mother marveled at all these things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them, said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, the sword will pierce through your own soul also. The thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. But this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord, spoke of him to all those who look for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. God used these two incredibly faith-filled individuals, Simeon and Anna, to prophesy over this child, to encourage Mary and Joseph. But I have to look slightly deeper at this moment. So I wonder if it was their faithfulness that allowed them to see through the group that arrived before them at the temple that day. In walks an unmarried couple with their newborn baby. And these two faith-filled people, they don't see what many might think is a scandal. They see the Savior. They see the salvation of the world in a baby, in a child. If you're someone who's unable to see the fingerprint of God at work in your life, can I encourage you? Find some faith-filled people in this church community. Find some people that when you see their life, you know that they're full of the Holy Spirit, that they have a strong faith, and spend time with them. Maybe invite them for a meal. Maybe join their connect group. Spend time. Share your story with them. Ask them to share their story with you. Faith-filled people may see a perspective that you've never considered on the events, the struggles that you're facing. They'll be able to encourage you and pray for you. Maybe this morning you're here and you feel that you're like a Simeon or an Anna, that you have demonstrated a life of faithfulness full of the Holy Spirit. My encouragement is don't let your wealth of experience, your longevity, prevent you from continuing to be involved in people's lives now. You know, there's young families, couples, individuals in this church and also in your life. And they may not come, they may not approach you and say, hey, I need your wisdom. I need you to mentor me. They may not chase after you, but they need what you've got to offer. They need your wisdom. They need your prayers. They need your perspective of God's faithfulness through every season. So my encouragement for those people is to be generous with your time, with your encouragement, with your prayers, to give freely of your time, even to those that aren't asking of it. Share your faith and your wisdom. This Christmas season, I hope and pray that we be a church community that sees God at work in all of our lives, that supports one another, that prays for one another, that we would see in just the mundane, ordinary events that are coming up this December, we would see God at work in our lives. Maybe this Christmas season is the first time you've heard of this Savior. Maybe you look at your own life and you know that you haven't made your heart right with God. You've never accepted Jesus as your own Savior. Today is an opportunity for that. This Christmas, you'd understand what Christmas truly is about. The arrival of a Savior for all people. Why don't you join with me in prayer by bowing your heads, closing your eyes? I want to pray this morning for anyone that does want to receive Jesus. If you're in this place and you'd like me to pray for you, you want to accept Jesus this morning, I just want to ask you to raise your hand. I'll acknowledge it. You put it down and I'll pray for you. Just so that I look from the left to the right. Yeah, I see that hand up the back there. Wonderful. Wonderful. God, we thank you this morning. I thank you for this gentleman that's received you as his Savior. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for your love that is offered for him. Lord God, we thank you that when you came as a Savior, you came in the form of a child,
but you'd live a perfect life. You would die and rise again on our behalf. I thank you that today begins a journey of following you. Lord God, I thank you for all in this church community, Lord, that this Christmas we would be able to see your hand at work. I pray for those that are stuck in a situation where they just can't see the end. They can't see the outcome they thought. Lord God, I ask for breakthrough. I ask for encouragement. Lord God, I ask for the right support to come around those people, Lord God, because we know that you are always moving, always at work in our lives. So God, we thank you for all of this. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.